Hello, race fans. Welcome to Disc Golf Daily. Today is Friday, March 22nd. It's time to get caught up with disc golf news and growth in 10 minutes. Today, we discuss the idea of smaller baskets. But first, the news. And in case you're cutting someone's hair and can't think of anything to talk about, let them know about the Disc Golf Daily podcast. Now let's get to it. Our top story of the day, the U.S. Women's Disc Golf Championship is underway. Missy Gannon leads the U.S. Women's with a hot 7 down. It was her best round rating ever, 1032, and it came at the perfect time, setting big money Missy in the driver's seat. And not to be outdone, or to be outdone by one, Rebecca Cox and Valerie Mondejano both shot 6 down, which was 1025 rated, and was also a career best round rating for each of them. And just to have some fun, if you take Missy's front 9 and Rebecca's back 9, you end up at 13 down. This course is scoreable and fun to watch. Kristen, Evelina, Natalie, and Sayananda are tied for 4th, 4 back at -3. Watch live all weekend on Disc Golf Network, or if you're close to Austin, get tickets and go support the women in person. Number 2 news story of the day comes to us from Green Splatter. The title, Disc Golf, A Literal Walk in the Park. Lucas starts this article with something I agree with him on. Grammar matters. He and I do not like the following sentence. I could care less about the price of tea in China. Why do we not like it? It means the opposite of what the speaker intends. You actually couldn't care less about the price of tea in China. Saying that you could care less means you actually could care less, which means you do care. Here's another one. I'm so hungry, I could literally eat a horse. In this instance, the term literally doesn't work because you can't literally eat a horse. You can figuratively eat an entire horse. I'm sure everybody will think you're cool by saying I could figuratively eat a horse. Anyway, in the title of this article, Lucas literally uses the term literally, and he does it correctly. And to quote Lucas from the article, link in the show notes, now this might seem like a small, seemingly insignificant matter, but in our age of digital dopamine, short attention spans, and widespread couch potato-ness, disc golf is an escape. It gets me off my phone, helps me focus on something worthwhile, and forces me to move my body in difficult yet rewarding ways. No, disc golf is not an Iron Man, but it's better than video games and Mountain Dew. Oddly enough, I am one of those people who also loves to run, bike, and swim, but it is way easier to get my butt out the door for 18 holes of disc golf than it is to run 5-plus miles on a nearby trail with lactic acid coursing rapidly through my leg muscles. Well said, Lucas. Disc golf is a wonderful walk in the park. Literally. And our final news story of the day, the Infinite blog says, night golf is fun. We took a huge poll, 4 out of 5 dentists agree. Not only do they say night golf is fun, they also say Innova's old glow stuff sucks, and their new glow stuff is as good as MVP's. High praise for Innova and MVP. They don't actually say their old stuff sucks. I'm just reading that into what they said. Anyway, let's get to a smaller basket discussion. A basketball free throw is exactly that, a free throw. You really should make the basket and score the point. The top 20% of players make over 75% of their free throws. It's pretty much a gimme. In the whole league, the average is around 70%. What percentage of free kicks are made in pro soccer? About 75%. In disc golf, guess what the C1X putting percentage was in 2023? And note that this stat does not count park job drop-ins. These are legit putts averaging about 25 feet. The median on the Pro Tour was 78%. And no one you've heard of on DGN is below that number. The people we see on DGN and Jomez and Gatekeeper are 85 to 90%. Watching a 25-foot putt in disc golf is literally more boring than watching a free throw. When I'm watching basketball and they make a free throw, I think to myself, why did I just watch that? I could have been reading The Idiot by Dostoevsky, or Getting All Caught Up in Green Splatter by Lucas. Wow, when I watch disc golf, I should get through The Idiot in no time. And if we are worried about how long rounds are taking, don't make players drop the disc in the basket if it is in the bullseye. Just pick it up and move on. Save us all some time from marking the disc to putting it in the basket to letting go of it to waiting for it to stop moving to finally picking it up again out of the basket and getting out of the way for the next player to do the exact same thing from 3 feet away. Gah! But I digress. And I may have a solution to both of these, although you'll probably not like it, and it is by no means an original idea. A few months ago, I was at the Disc Golf Course Designer Conference held at Maple Hill. John Houck was the featured speaker, quite appropriately. Towards the end of the conference, the question of smaller baskets was raised. John correctly saw this question in the elite pro light that it was meant. He put forward that better course design, leading to more circle two putts, would be easier than replacing the baskets on 15,000 courses. And he was definitely correct. Although that does not account for the fact that the vast majority of those courses were designed with 30-foot putts being the target distance for a good shot's birdie putt. And at the time, that was good course design. But players have improved. A lot. But John is still correct, if those were the only two options. There is a third option that could, and probably should, be investigated. The option of the Pro Tour developing a smaller basket that would be for Pro Tour events. This would allow course designers to go back to, or stay at, course design that leads to edge-of-circle putts, as most top courses were developed in the last 10 to 15 years. This would bring back a lot of courses into the mix as possible hosts to Pro Tour events, and the more possible courses, the better. It would also make those 25-footers damn exciting. There are plenty of examples of the pro game of a sport being more difficult than the college or amateur level of that same game. For example, in the NFL, both feet must be in bounds to complete a pass. In college, 1 foot's enough. In pro tennis, you have to win the game by 2. In college tennis, the first player to get 4 points wins the game. In basketball, in the pros, it's a 48-minute game with a 24-second shot clock, and you have jump balls. In the NCAA, it's a 40-minute game with a 30-second shot clock, and you have a possession arrow. Also, the NBA has a longer 3-point shot. In soccer, in the pros, you have a limited number of substitutions. It's not that way in college. In pro hockey, they have a narrower hockey rink. There are lots of adjustments for pro-level players. Why? They play the game differently than the rest of us. If this were to happen, there are 3 things that need to happen to make it happen. Testing, implementation, and sales. Not to mention a pretty good PR effort to let people know what's going on. We would need to test players on different sized baskets. Cutting the basket down by 1/2 won't necessarily cut the made putts down by 1/2. Also, this is an opportunity to make hitting the chains mean the disc goes in much more often. For example, keep the cage the same size and make the chain assembly smaller, much fewer spit outs and cut throughs. So step one, test how often players hit their mark and how often they miss it and by how much. Do this for different distances too. We also need to bear in mind that younger players coming up are the first generation that saw professional disc golf as a real profession. Pro players are going to get better and more consistent. After testing and possibly accounting for another 10 to 15% improvement in consistency and accuracy of future pro players, we will need to consider implementation. This should be done in 3 phases. Phase 1, the Pro Tour, or an affiliate event of theirs, should hold an 18-hole exhibition match on these new smaller baskets. Adjust the basket as necessary. If there are a lot of adjustments needed, do it again at another event. Once the basket is where we think we want it to be, we do phase 2. Have an exhibition match on the smaller baskets at every tour stop for a year, getting everyone used to the idea that there's going to be a big change next year. And by everyone, I mean the players and the spectators. Phase 3, implement the baskets on the Pro Tour. The Pro Tour could make up 100 or so and bring them around the country and world as the tour travels. For the first couple of years, in my opinion, they shouldn't sell them to courses because there will likely be tweaks. The goal will be to make a standard basket that is used at all pro-level events. Any manufacturer can make it, and they would all be the exact same dimensions. This exact same number of chains, exact same everything on the inside. It's time to really look into making the basket smaller. Let's make 25 footers the new 50 footers. Let us know what you think. Shoot us your thoughts, news, and opinions at discgolfdaily@aol.com. Have fun, throw them straight, and hit the thin gap.